1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's see, we'll read just a few verses and then we're going to take a thought from verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, we thank you for these that have gathered and taken time today to come to your house to worship. Father, I pray for other churches this morning as they gather together and to worship today, God, I pray that you'll just bless your people, Lord, that we'll all grow closer to you, Lord, and learn something today for our lives, to better our lives and to be a better blessing in this life to others that we come into contact with. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be with those that are unable to be here. Lord, I pray for those that are sick and afflicted, God, that you touch them. Father, help us now for just a little bit, Lord, and we'll be careful to praise you, to give you the glory for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. I want to look at the thought again, continuing the thought that we've been looking at on seeking God. And I want to look at the thought this morning, seeking God through spiritual maturity. Seeking God through spiritual maturity. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter here, the first Corinthians, to the believers there that was at Corinth. And we know that if you start out reading chapter 1, 2, and 3, you'll find out right off the bat that there's a problem here at this church. There's a real problem here at Corinth. In chapter 1, he talks to them about the division that's in the body of Christ there. And in chapter 2, he talks about their discernment, that they don't have the discernment because of their spiritual condition, and that they're trying to look at things through the natural realm. And then get into chapter 3, we find out that there's also other things that are hindering these believers, but it all boils down to one thing, is that they're carnal. They're carnally minded. They've not grown in Christ like they should. He's writing to people that are saved, that are born again, that have trusted Christ as their Savior, yet we find problems. And we still find those problems a lot of times in churches all around us as we go through this life. If you've ever visited and been a part of, some of you have never belonged to another church besides Open Door, but I promise you the same problems that you'll find here at Open Door, you'll find at other churches, Baptist Church. And it all boils down to the fact of spiritual maturity, of believers being carnal. They've been saved, there's no question about that. If they've trusted Christ as their Savior, they've got a time and a place where they came to the realization of their lost condition, their need of a Savior, and they took their place as a sinner. They're believers. I mean, there are those that are saved that are still been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And I've seen people that have been saved all their life and they're still carnal. I mean, they go through the motions, they go to the house of God, but yet they're still carnally minded. They have no discernment. And it's amazing today, as much education, as much wisdom and knowledge, or knowledge that we have, not many people have no wisdom, but as much knowledge and education as people have, how little discernment that there is in this world. I mean, even among the the Christian believers, let alone the world and their discernment that they have today. But we find that Paul was dealing with this, and he's writing to them, and he's wanting to get their attention, I believe. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He likened them unto babies. And we know that a baby, and we've mentioned it many times, when they come into this world, they're on milk. And that's all they can digest in their little bodies as they begin to grow. But then we begin to get them on a little bit thicker food sources, like a baby food and oatmeal and different little things like that, the softer for their, that they can digest in their little bodies. And then eventually, we find out they begin to like meat. I mean, they want something a little bit more hearty. They have a little bit heartier appetite, and they want something that will fill them up a little bit better. And we find here that this church at Corinth was filled with all sorts of problems, just like you'd find anywhere today. And it wasn't because the church was located in Corinth. It was because of the maturity level of the believers who made up that local church. And I believe it's God's purpose for all of us who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we become more and more like Jesus on a daily basis. The more we read, the more we study, the more we apply ourselves, the more we should begin to grow in grace and knowledge. Galatians chapter 4, Paul writing to the Galatian believer. He said, verse 19, he said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Hey, that's the plan. When you get saved, it's for Christ to be formed in you, that you would come more and more like Him. The more we read about Jesus, the more we ought to want to become like Jesus and to set the example and our outreach to other people. And I believe, I eat too much, I believe that that the closer we grow to the Lord Jesus, the more we'll want to be like Him. Colossians, in writing to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 28, Paul said, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." That was his desire, was to mature those believers, hey, that they could, he could present every individual that he came into contact with in a spiritual maturity in Christ Jesus. And that word "perfect" just signifies having reached its end, complete and mature. The phrase "present every man perfect in Christ Jesus" means building the principles of God's Word into a person's life so that he is equipped to respond to any situation with a Christ-like attitude. That's the purpose of God for the local church, even today in the hour that we're living in. And all the, as I've already mentioned, all the education, all the material things that we have, that is the purpose in our lives, to present every man perfect, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's given us everything that we need to be spiritually mature. And I believe when we begin to seek God in spiritual maturity, hey, we're getting to a point and place in our lives where we can be a benefit in the kingdom of God, in the church of God. We might see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Hey, we're without excuse today as we look around and we see all the churches. You can start out, I've said this a lot of times, we'll leave to go to Colorado or anywhere else you want to go on vacation. If you'll keep your eyes open along the 85 and 75 and Interstate 70 and Interstate 24, every once in a while you'll see a church. You'll see a church house. You'll see all different kinds of denominations. There's all different kinds of teachings in those churches, but you'll see church houses, and God has planted churches for the specific purpose of winning people to Christ and then to mature those believers into spiritually mature individuals. And He's given us everything that we need. He's given us a Bible, first of all. We've all got a Bible, so we're without excuse. And also Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, The Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we find God uses a number of ways, ways to accomplish this task today. He allows problems. He allows irritations and responsibilities to come into our lives so that we're motivated to search out His Word and to develop to the full potential that He has for us. He knows that if left to ourselves, many of us would only develop a small portion of the abilities and capacities which He's given us. And we see that every day and every time we go to the house of God, all across this country. And spiritual maturity is not something that we can gain overnight. Hey, there are many things that can hinder us from growing and becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that all around us today. And I'm going to give you two things this morning and several things under those things that will hinder you from reaching your full potential of what Christ wants you to be. He wants us to be spiritually mature. And Paul mentioned that in verse 14 of chapter 2. He said, but the natural man, that man that's lost, that man that's thinking like the world, that carnal Christian, he said, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. We have a lack of spiritual discernment in our churches today. And when people read the Word of God, they don't read it allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them. And that's why our churches is a mess. That's why a lot of people sitting at home this morning that should be in the house of God is because they lack spiritual discernment, because there's carnal, because there's divisions, because there's things in their lives that are hindering them from going to the house of God. We're just carnal beings. I mean, if we let our carnality rule us, I'm going to tell you, everything that comes along, hey, will knock us out and keep us from growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, what can hinder us? What's the first thing that can hinder you from being spiritually mature the way that God wants you to be? The society in which we live. The society in which we live, if you're not careful, you'll let this society hinder you from being the Christian, the spiritual mature Christian that God wants you to be. I mean, we live in an instant society today. Everybody wants everything instant. We want what we want, and we want it right now. And we have fast food, we have money machines, we have express lanes. Hey, we also have a get-rich-quick syndrome. Hey, without having to work, and this world is like that today. And if you're a Christian, hey, you're going to have to get to the point and place where you allow God to work in you and to do the things that He's called you to do. Hey, the Bible says a Christian, a real Christian, one that's saved, hey, don't want everything instantly. I mean, we realize that we got to work. The Bible says man won't work, he ought to eat. Hey, I don't care what kind of things happen down through the pay. Hey, these people that want reparations, I mean, they just want something for nothing. Hey, they want a handout from this society, and a Christian, a person that's been born again, should never just want a handout. I mean, we all realize that we're going to have to work for it. And number two is, Christians, we fight the same battles. Every one of us face those same things. If we're not careful, we'll get caught up in this society and the things that's going on. And just because somebody else wants that and somebody else thinks they deserve it, hey, we think that we deserve it. Our attitudes are formed, hey, by the society in which we live rather than by the principles of the Word of God. And can I say, hey, this Bible ought to dictate every area of your life and my life this morning if we're spiritually mature. We ought to be reading our Bible every day. We ought to be reading our Bible. Now, you might not get something from every verse that you read. Hey, but I do believe that if you're reading and studying the Word of God on a daily basis, that you're going to run up on something for that day. If we read it prayerfully and we read it intently, hey, God is going to speak to us out of this Bible. The reason most people's lives are in mess today is because they're not heeding the Word of God. The Bible, reason people get into sin, Christians. Reason a lot of people that are saved, hey, they get in sin because they refuse to obey and honor the Word of God in their lives. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Hey, if it looks evil, if it looks wicked, if you had a problem with it, hey, before you got saved, you're still going to have a problem with it after you get saved. And we got to abstain from that. We all fight the same battles. We all wake up to the same enemy every morning. When the sun comes up in the east, we're all going to face the same battles every day. And we look around and we see all that this world has to offer, and it looks pretty good to us a lot of times. And a lot of times we find ourselves in that whatever it takes, I'm going to get it. It don't matter if it's right or if it's wrong for us, if we want it. This society dictates how we live in this day and hour that we're living in. And we'll get caught up in that if we're not careful, and we're going to have to fight those same battles. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing you were compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Hey, there's things that might be okay to do, hey, but they're going to weight you down, and because society is given to those things, hey, that don't mean it's okay to go ahead and do it. We're all going to fight those same battles every day. Hey, we can't violate the principles of God's Word and then expect God to bless our lives. Hey, you can't raise your kids and get them up to teenagers, and then all of a sudden, hey, you decide, hey, we're going to start living by the Bible. We're going to start doing what this Bible says. Now, if you ain't been doing it, you ought to do it. Hey, but it don't mean that everything's going to turn out okay. Bible says, train up a child as it should go, and when it's old, it'll not depart from it. I believe if we put in our children that church is important, and we go to the house of God, and just because somebody else is doing something, the society is doing it, hey, if we take a stand and we say, as Joshua said of old, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It don't matter what the rest of the societies are doing out here. It don't matter what the rest of the young people are doing out here. Hey, we're going to serve God. We're going to follow Him. As Christians, we fight the same battles. But we want instant spiritual results a lot of times in our lives, and we don't want to do what God's already told us to do. If He's given you light, you're going to have to walk in that light when He gives it to you, or you'll come to a point and a place in your life where you'll not proceed no further. I believe that with all my heart. Hey, God begins to show you some things in your life, hey, that you need to be doing, the things that you need to be abstaining from, the things that you ought to be putting in your life to be a better Christian. Then we get to that point, if we refuse to allow God to rule and reign in our life, we'll get stagnant and we won't go no further. You're going to have to go back to that step, hey, where God was showing and putting His finger on something, hey, that you should be doing in your life before you're going to proceed any further. We want instant spiritual results a lot of times when we're not already doing what God has showed us to do. There's 66 books of the revealed will of God in His Bible, and if we refuse to do the revealed will of God, how do we expect Him to show us His individual will? What He wants us to do, what He's called us to do, what He's leading you to do on a daily basis. How He's wanting you to conduct your life before a lost and dying world. This society that we live in, if you allow it to control you and to lead you and to direct you, hey, it'll hinder your spiritual growth. Many times, hey, people come to us with problems, and I think, hey, they have it in their head that we can sprinkle some magic powder around, and all their problems will disappear. Hey, when in reality, they've allowed those problems in their life all these years, and there's no instant fix for it sometimes. You're just going to have to get in this Bible and let this Bible get in you. You're going to have to get on your knees. You're going to have to pray. We're going to have to seek God's will. Hey, we're going to have to seek God's direction. Hey, this society has messed up a lot of people's thinking today. And then when they get saved and they start trying to do right, hey, they want instant spiritual results, and it's a growing process. People spend years developing poor habits in their lives and not living according to the Word of God and expect a quick and easy remedy when their problems come in their lives. And as a result, it's difficult for many Christians to devote their lives to the long-term work of God that He wants them to do, because the society has already molded them into the way of thinking of this world. It's hard to get this world out of people's minds. Did you know that it's harder to unlearn than it is to learn? That's why so many people, hey, they've already learned things in their lives, and when they come from these liberal churches or come from another denomination, it's hard for them to get away from that. Those teachings that they've been faced with. So, while you have the opportunity and God's working in your life, hey, listen to what God said. Don't let society and this world dictate how you're going to live your life, how you're going to conduct your life as a Christian and as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, the society in which we live in will hinder you. Number two, this morning, our backgrounds can hinder our spiritual growth. Our background can hinder our spiritual growth. You know, most people get saved out of a life of sin, a lot of them do. I mean, they've had that ungodly influence in their life all these years. And they've had that background. And that hinders their spiritual growth a lot of times. Hey, because it was just so common. And I've seen people get saved and God began to... they had a history of a background of ungodliness. But then, you know, they begin to grow and they begin to drop some things off, but yet they still got that ungodly influence in their life that's hard for them to get away from. Hey, we weren't all raised like that. I was raised in a Christian home. Now, society dictated how I wanted to live my life. I realized that. And it can hinder even church people a lot of times. Hey, but your background can also hinder your spiritual growth when you get saved. And we expect a lot of times for people just to change, just boom, voila. I mean, just quick. And sometimes we don't realize where they came from. And we're very critical of that individual because we don't realize. And I have looked at them a lot of times, and somebody say, "You mean they got saved? They're a Christian." Somebody said, "Well, you should have seen them before they got saved. See what God has already done in their life." But our background, they don't make us Christians, but they do have an effect on our maturity. It don't matter if you're raised in a Christian home. I mean, you can refuse to allow God to change your life. And it can hinder you. Then many people have already mentioned. Many people that have become Christians today have never been exposed to the kind of influence in life which helped build character in their life. Just like, I'm trying to think. I guess Carly's been raised in church. She's all she's known is church around here since she was big enough to remember much. She should be pretty far along in her spiritual maturity. things that I preach should just be common knowledge to her, but someone else that had an ungodly background and ungodly influence, it might be foreign to them. They might look at you like, what are you saying? What are you talking about? I mean, I grew up in church. I mean, that's all I ever knew when I was younger, was just going to church. My daddy's been a preacher, was a preacher most of my life. I was probably 8 or 9 years old when he announced his call to preach. When he responded to the call and started preaching. But we were already going to church. I remember going to church before I even started school down at Harmony Baptist Church. I remember being down there at a revival one night, and it ended up, my first grade teacher was there at that revival meeting. I remember that specifically. And I've been to church. I sat on the bench there before I even knew what a lot of spiritual things was. But I knew that going to church was just part of my life. So, a lot of people, though, that's those ungodly influences in their life can hinder them from growing as fast and as rapid as someone that's been in church before. Even after salvation, they continue to operate under the philosophy of this world today. And you see that in a lot of churches. And I think that's why we've got so liberal, we've got so given in, we think that we got to preach to please people instead of doing what God's called us to do. He's called us to preach the unadulterated, inerrant Word of God, and sometimes it's going to go against the flesh when we start trying to preach and mature believers to come out from among the world to be separate, saith the Lord. That's why Paul urged the Christians in Rome to be transformed in their minds. It takes a transformation of my mind and your mind to make us the kind of believer and the spiritually mature believer, hey, that we should be. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, our minds are like a computer, and some of the things that we learn in school, in our workplace, and as we go through this life, some of the things that we learn, it gets ingrained. It's like that computer. We store those things in our mind, and when we're living after the flesh, we're walking after the world. The society is dictating how we live, how we think, the things that we do. Hey, we don't want to be different a lot of times, and we let society do those things to us most of our life, and then boom, you get saved, and you begin to try to fight against that. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? You're going to renew it by going to the house of God. How are you going to renew your mind by reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God for yourself? How are you going to renew your mind by letting this Bible get in your heart and in your soul and change you from that person that you once was and to what God wants you to be? Some people are just filled with rebellion. I mean, that's why Paul said here in verse 3, he said, for you, this way these Corinthians were, he said, for ye are yet carnal. You've been saved, but you're still carnal. He said, for whereas there's among you envyings and strifes and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And he's doing a comparison there, verse 4, of for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Hey, there's one saying, hey, I got saved under the great apostle Paul. Another said, well, Apollos was preaching when I got born again. He said, you're trying to compare with who you got saved under, who preached you the gospel. He said, there's strife and there, who is the greatest of these preachers. Hey, there's strife here. Hey, there can be other kinds of strifes among God's people. Jealousies. Jealousies is ripping our churches apart. contentions about different things. Hey, we were pretty in agreement about getting the lights. No, we didn't have no problem with getting the lights. Everybody was pretty agreeable. We could have had some strife about that. And a lot of churches have had strife about it. It's a blessing to be able to agree on some things, even if we agree to disagree sometimes. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, you got to go to church if you're going to ever like church. I could quit today. I could come up with an excuse to not come back tonight. I could have walked out of here a year ago. Just made up my mind, hey, I'm not going back over there no more. Them people don't care. They won't come to church. Half of them won't come to church half the time. They don't want to hear what I got to say. Hey, I've been preaching my guts out all these years, and they're still got some of these things in their life that I preached about, and I'm preaching from God's Word. We're all made of the same stuff. Until you make up your mind, hey, I want to be a spiritually mature believer, friend. Hey, you're going to walk after the way that this world, the society, is living their lives. Ungodly influences can affect you. Those that you grew up around, those your family members that are ungodly. Number two, improper Christian influences can hinder you from spiritual growth. Improper Christian influence. You know, there are some improper Christian influences. How sad it is today, hey, that the atmosphere that was designed by God to promote spiritual growth could itself become a hindrance. Hey, the influence of churches and individual Christians can hinder a person's spiritual growth this morning. Those that have grown up in different denominations, they have a different outlook. They can influence someone that's really saved that you may be some family members belong to another church. That's why it's important, hey, to be careful, hey, where you go to church, what you listen to, who you read after. Improper Christian influence. Hey, you can make anything, this Bible say anything that you want it to say. And there's a number of reasons why this can happen to an individual. When there's more emphasis is placed on entertaining than on edifying. We was talking about that just a little bit ago about, hey, I could get rid of my tie. I could get me a t-shirt and wear a t-shirt. I could wear a jacket with a t-shirt, you know. That's what a lot of them do. And they get them a nice looking t-shirt now and they change that. They're trying to make people feel comfortable. Hey, we changed the music. We put the 7-Eleven songs up on the screen. I believe there's a right way to have church. There are some traditional traditions that's been passed down through the years, and there are some right biblical sound songs that's been written and passed on to the church down through the years that are right to sing. Some people don't like this hymn book in the Independent Baptist movement. Hey, I'm okay with it. I like the one that we had at Zion Hill. I like that songbook. It had a lot of the same songs in it. In here, they were just the notes are a little bit different. That changes the tone or the beat or melody or whatever you want to say. There's a little bit of difference in the notes and things. And some people they don't like this book. They don't want you to sing out of this book. Now I like that song, "Living in Canaan." Now, some people don't like that song. Because of the beat. But we've turned to entertaining people. We want people to feel good about themselves. We don't want them to get under conviction. You ain't going to never quit nothing, and you ain't going to never do nothing if you don't get under conviction about something. Hey, I've been preached to all my life.
I might have got mad a time or two. I don't know, but I didn't show it. I got stung a lot in my younger days. But I didn't get mad and quit. I didn't get mad and give up. I allowed those things to mature me a little bit. And I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not as mature as I ought to be today. And we would never will be until we get to that point and place when we see Jesus. And we become like Him because we'll see Him as He is. But we're supposed to be maturing and growing closer and closer to being like Jesus. By the way, Jesus went to church on a regular basis. Making the church and its services more appealing and comfortable to the lost. I remember when lost people would come in. I remember when they just come in, revival meeting. Hey, they just come in out of the woodwork. People hadn't even been to visit them, but they'd been praying for them. And it's good to visit. It's good to knock doors. But I'm going to tell you, hey, when the church was what it should be, and people were what they should be and was praying, and they might have not have been as spiritually mature as they should have been even back then. Hey, but a lot of people would come in the doors when revival meeting time come, in the spring revival, the August meeting, they'd have those morning meetings, those evening meetings, and people would come in and they would get saved, and they'd get under conviction, the hell was preached hot, and heaven sweet, and they would come to the knowledge of the truth of their lost condition and where they were going if they didn't trust Jesus as their Savior. And the reality of it is they'd already got under conviction out yonder somewhere days before that when they come to the house of God. Probably more people saved back then than being saved now. But we've got to the point we need to make church appealing and comfortable. We want people to come in and feel comfortable. We want them to come in, but we want the Holy Spirit to have liberty to speak to their heart and make them uncomfortable. What we're singing shouldn't be making them uncomfortable. A decrease in the preaching of the Word and an increase in feel-good services. The songs that we sing to follow the bouncy ball. And I ain't got no problem putting the Scripture up on the screen. I ain't got no problem with PowerPoints. I used to didn't even know what a PowerPoint was. This educated man come to Zion Hill. I've told you this before one day. When they carried us out to eat, they was wanting to come to our church. And we was riding along and he asked me what I thought about PowerPoints. And I thought, I said, what's a PowerPoint? She said, I knew. She laughed. She said, I knew that was coming. She knew I didn't know what a PowerPoint was. I never had given thought to PowerPoint, preaching with PowerPoints. Hey, most churches I grew up in, hey, the men of God would get up in the pulpit. They'd done prayed through the week. They'd done found them a text somewhere. They'd get up and they'd read that text, Brother Todd, and they'd begin to preach, and they'd preach the paint off the wall. And sinners would get saved. They didn't have no points to put on a PowerPoint. Their point was, you're lost, you're on your way to hell, and you need to trust Jesus as your Savior, and people would get saved. Some churches are involved in every social cause that's imaginable, but yet there's very little preaching going on in the pulpit. Yet they've got hundreds or they've got thousands in their seating. Nothing wrong with that. Others promote false doctrine and promote teachings of men rather than of God. You can find that everywhere. Others are just stuck in a rut of salvation three times a week and that's all they ever preach. We've got more available to us today and we got less spiritual discernment and less spiritual maturity in believers probably than we've ever had. Or it's more noticeable. I might add. It's more noticeable. Not only improper Christian influence, but then God established the church for the purpose of bringing His children to spiritual maturity. And that's what it ought to be about this morning, is getting people saved, hey, getting them in the Bible, getting them in church, hey, getting them where they can come and hear three messages a week, and maybe a Sunday school lesson on Sunday morning. Hey, you know, I've said this a lot of times, Sunday school is the only discipleship program most churches have. It's all we've ever had just about. And some people will say, well, you ought to have one. Well, we can't keep them here long enough to disciple them most of the time. At least maybe through the Sunday school hour, hey, we can get familiar with our Bible, then the characters of the Bible, and learn some things that God expects out of you and I as Christians. But that's what God established the church for that purpose. If we didn't need to do that when He saved us, He could have just carried us on to heaven. If that was what it's all about. God is glorified when we bear fruit. Hey, but no one bears fruit until they begin to mature in their life. John chapter 15, verse 8, the Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Hey, God wants you and I to bear fruit this morning. He wants us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. There's nine fruit there of that, a fruit of the Spirit, singular, fruit of the Spirit. And a person that's saved ought to at least be bearing that kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. But most of the time we're so short with our answers and we have to work on those things. Seeking God in spiritual maturity. Hey, it's our responsibility to mature this morning, to help bring those around us into spiritual maturity. Hey, you're responsible to one another this morning to encourage us to walk with God, to live for God, hey, to become that spiritual mature person, hey, that God expects us to be. If there's ever been a time that we need spiritually mature people in our churches, I believe it's today. Most churches are a little more than baby churches. I like shouting. I like the services to get high, Miss Ruby. Hey, but did you know that most of those churches where the services are always high and they're on this level of people running and shouting and hollering, they're babies? They put more emphasis on the shouting and the feel good about it than they do on the spiritual maturing about it. But then again, if church is spiritually mature, there'll be some of that going on. But there'll be preaching going on. There'll be teaching that's going on. I've always said preaching is not teaching, but preaching should have some teaching in it. Teaching is giving out of facts. Teaching is where people can grow in knowledge. Preaching should have some conviction in it. But it should have some teaching also in it. And thank God for the preachers we got today. Hey, we've got some really, really good preachers today. There's more knowledge about the second coming of Christ today than there's ever been. And you know, I've said this a lot of times. Noah preached for 120 years that judgment was coming. All that time he was working. He was building that ark. I believe that was a testimony to that lost society that was around him that day. They seen him building that. No doubt there was a lot of questions. Noah, what are you building? What is this big old monstrosity of a thing that you're building? Well, it's a boat. So what's a boat, Noah? A boat floats on the water. He said, it's going to rain. Judgment's coming. God bringing judgment. They said, what's rain, Noah? It's water that comes out of the sky. And all the while, he kept nailing on that boat. Nailing on that boat. He preached for 120 years. Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. If there's ever been a time we need to preach righteousness, it's in this ungodly world and society, hey, that we're living in today, in our churches where people are spiritual babies. They have no discernment. We need to preach that judgment is coming, that Jesus is coming, and they don't have much time left, that they need to trust Christ as their Savior. But Noah preached for 120 years before judgment comes. And I've said this a lot of times. Probably some of the most knowledge that we've had of the second coming of Christ has been in the last 120 or 50 years or so. You go back and look and see when God began to open. God told Daniel to shut up the book until the end of the time when it was time for it to be opened. And probably the last 150 years, I'd say, some of it began to come to light, but at least the last 100 to 120 years, there's a lot of light has come about the second coming of Christ. God has shed light. He's opened the Scriptures. We need to get a hold of some of that. I don't understand it all. I've told you that a lot of times. There's so many things. Hey, I live there and I'm just sort of like, you know, how do you get that? You know, and it makes sense though. You begin to listen to it and you begin to look at the Scriptures and it makes sense. Hey, look at Russia and China over there. What's happening? Hey, we're close to the end. I don't understand all of that about Gog and Magog and how God's going to put hooks in their jaws and pull them down upon Israel. But I believe it. And I believe it's close at hand because we're seeing the things that's taking place over there. We're closer to war with Russia than we've ever been in China. And China was supposed to be our friend. We're buying all everything you've got. You probably look on you. You probably got something made in China today, don't you? I know if you've bought any car parts lately, they're from China. Most everything was coming from there. If there's ever been time, we need to seek God through spiritual maturity in our life. I believe it's in 2023. Hey, this could be the generation that gets out of here. We could get out of here before the day's over. So, in closing this morning, are we growing in Christ? If not, is it because of some of these hindrances I've mentioned? There are no excuses, I don't believe. Hey, because every one of these things can be overcome by the power of the Holy Ghost that lives in you and I this morning. Hey, the Bible tells us that we have no need that another man teacher. Hey, we have the teacher, the one that's called alongside to help. Hey, the Paracletos, the Comforter, hey, that God, when He saved you, hey, give you through the Holy Spirit that took up abode in your life. We can understand this Bible if we want to. The problem is we don't want to understand it. We shut our ears to it because we're being dictated by the society that we live in, how we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves, even after we get saved. It's all about a feel-good mentality. Church has become pretty much a Sunday morning thing. And some churches have a little handful that comes out on Wednesday night. And we're in the worse shape than we've ever been. And in some cases, people think we're in the best shape spiritually, but in reality, we're spiritually bankrupt in this day that we're living in because of immature people that have been saved for years and refuse to move up closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking God through spiritual maturity. Are you as mature as you should be this morning? I began in 93, and I'm not no worse where I need to be. But in 93, Miss Elizabeth, I began to want to know what I believed. I did. We had that revival in 93, and God did something for me, hey, that I've never gotten away from. I began to testify. I began to seek God. I began to pray. I began to read my Bible. And I still don't know everything I need to know. I don't know just a small portion. But I'm going to tell you, I've tried to apply myself and to grow and to learn more about what the Lord has done for me and salvation and what He expects from me as a Christian and to be where I needed to be with Him as a preacher. And I fell miserably. But I'm going to tell you, it's been different ever since 93. I got saved in 72. But I'm going to tell you something. And I went to church. I went to church and I sat through services and I slept through services and I knew a little bit. But I began to know what I believed. I wanted to grow. I wanted some spiritual growth in my life. And it was until I made up my mind that just came to me. I made a decision. I want no more. I want to know why I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Not just because, Brother Sammy Adams said, because my daddy's always preached out of it. Because churches that I've always went to, that's what we preach out of. I wanted to know. I wanted to know how I knew that I was eternal secure in Christ. I wanted to know what took place at salvation in my life. That I was sanctified. That I was justified. Hey, that I was glorified. And that we've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I wanted to know about those passages of Scripture. And I began to pray. And I began to seek God. And began to read my Bible. If you ain't never read your Bible through from cover to cover, shame on you. Shame on you. If you ain't never read it from cover to cover, through the hard words and through the hard verses and everything else, hey, you ought to know. You ought to read your Bible through. You really ought to read it through every year. I know some people can't, but a lot more can than can't. And you can do whatever you want to apply your life to. And I promise you, when you begin to read it, it'll begin to mature you. You'll begin to grow in grace. You'll begin to grow in knowledge. And church will become a little bit sweeter. Why the church is here. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason. I mean, you look in this God-denying land that we're living in, and you get on most roads, and you're going to run by a church in just a little bit. And we live in the Bible Belt, but I don't care when you even get out Midwest. There's churches. They may be Lutheran churches. They may be Episcopalians. They may be Methodist. They may be Southern Baptist or whatever. Hey, but there's churches out there, yonder, and people believe in something. But we need to believe the right thing. And we need to be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the privilege to be in Your house this morning. Thank You for the good fellowship downstairs this morning. Lord, we thank You that You've allowed us to be able to be in Your house this morning. Lord, just to be with other believers. Lord, if we could have just come in and sung a few songs and read a passage of Scripture and went home. Lord, and said it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us to take this thought in. Lord, if nothing else, we get a hold of the fact that we need to be mature Christians. We need to learn more about You, and we need to be sharing what we got and what we get on a daily basis with other people that we come in contact with. Lord, we realize that the summer's ended, and people are still not saved out in this world, Lord. And God, we're coming down to the end of time. Lord, help us to do what we can in the days that lies ahead, in these perilous times in which we're living in, Lord, to get the gospel out and see people saved. We love You. We thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house today. Go with us or go a separate way and meet back with us this evening. We'll give You glory and praise for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Thank you for being here, and thank you for the good fellowship, the good meal, the ladies'